Folks, I want you to turn this morning to the New Testament, to the book of Acts in the chapter 8. It's a joy to be here, privilege to be asked, and it's always a privilege to share the Word of God anywhere. I got saved over 30-odd years ago, and up until that point I didn't read my Bible, hadn't even got one. And, I didn't know a big pile about God's truths. But then, in 1982, I came to know the Lord at a mission in Armagh, and I called upon Him to be my Saviour. And just like blind Bartimaeus, I got the ear of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I mind speaking to the pastor who led me to the Lord. And he gave me a wee bit of advice. The first thing he said, "Everett, get yourself into a good church. You're going to get good teaching and get under the sound of the Word." And then he encouraged me to read the Bible and get myself a Bible and to begin to read it, the New Testament. And that's exactly what I did. And I've been reading it ever since. But I mind coming across this portion. And you know, the Bible's alive. It's thrilling. It's just thrills your souls when you lift the pages of Holy Writ and you spend time with them. And I just want to share with you just things that the Lord blessed my own soul with, even about the serving of the Lord. Take a look there at Acts chapter 8 and the verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and the verse 1. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lamed were healed, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." We'll just end our Bible reading there just for the moment. Let us bow in a brief word of prayer and let us seek the face of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the public reading of your own precious truth. It's so important and it's so precious to us. And we thank thee for the events that are unfolding as we have read this very chapter this morning. And we pray that thou would indeed bless your word to our hearts just now, that you might come and challenge our souls afresh, and that you might, Lord, speak to us as well as through us today, and that glory and honor alone may be brought to the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To this end, close us in with yourself, take away every distracting thought, and Father, may we hear the voice of God this day ministering to our very hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mind reading this portion of Scripture many, many years ago in the book of Acts chapter 8. And I suppose it is a portion of God's Word that has fascinated me, that has been a means by God speaking to me and getting me personally involved in the service of the Lord. You know, I often think of the conversion of the Apostle Paul there on the Damascus Road. There are three specific things we can see about his conversion. Number one, that he was called in order that he would be saved. He was also called to serve. And the third thing we can see about him, that he was also called to suffer. And that has never changed. It is the same for the life of every child of God. Thank God we have been called unto salvation, those of us who have responded to that call. We have also been called to serve, to be involved in the work of the Lord. But we have also been called to suffer for Christ's sake. And of course, that's what was going on here at this particular time, even prior to the conversion of Saul. And we can see that it is Saul himself who is carrying out the persecution against the church of Jesus Christ at Jerusalem at this period of time. And I would like to just put emphasis here concerning the church. What does the Bible mean when it speaks about the church? Well, I want to say this, it is not a denominational tag. The church of Jesus Christ are those who have been blood bought and blood washed. Those who have come to realize that they're a sinner on the road to a lost eternity and have come to recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has paid the ultimate price for our redemption in the fact that he went the whole way to the cross, and there in that middle tree, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And in that acknowledgement and in the knowledge of that, we have simply bowed at the foot of the cross. We've received Christ as our Savior, and as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. And when you become a son of God, you become born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is then and only then when you become part and partial of the church of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you part of it? There are many people throughout Northern Ireland today have their names on church roll books, but their names are not written in heaven. And dear friend, you need to make sure that you're part and partial of the church of Jesus Christ. Saul was persecuting the church here in these opening verses of Acts chapter 8. He had stood, we are introduced to him in the earlier chapter where he stood there at the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen, who was a dear friend of Philip. And when you read that particular chapter, you will discover that Stephen was a man of God, sold out for God, fearless for God. Therefore, that was the means of bringing him to the stoning point of martyrdom. It was because of his standing up for truth, for preaching truth, for presenting truth, which led to him being stoned to death. And it is at that stoning of Stephen, at the martyrdom of Stephen, that you and I are introduced to this boy called Saul of Tarsus. Because though he didn't lift the stone to throw it at Stephen, yet he was there standing on the edge of the crowd. They removed their coats, the boys who would carry out the execution, and they laid their coats at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul, who was in agreement with what was going on. And in these earlier verses of Acts chapter 8, we discover that Saul had consented unto Stephen's death. We are told at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem to the very extent that they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. I'm telling you, here was a saint who had passed into eternity, who had went the way of all the earth, and he was going to be greatly missed by the fellowship. And as for Saul, verse 3 says, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison, Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It didn't hinder the spread of the word. You said to me this morning, Everett, why did God permit this to take place? Why does God permit this persecution to take place at this particular time? Well, did not the Lord Jesus tell them earlier that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? But it would seem to me they've remained in Jerusalem. They haven't went beyond those boundaries. And therefore, the persecution has been permitted in order to spread the gospel. So they're leaving Jerusalem now. They're going into Judea. They're going into Samaria. And the Holy Spirit of God, it directs our minds and our eyes upon this individual that I want to look at briefly this morning for the next 15 minutes. And it's this man called Philip, for he absolutely fascinates me. We read about him back there when the church were going through a difficult period. The church was been multiplied. There were things happening. There was been added to the church daily, such as should be saved. But in the midst of the blessing, there was also problems that were arising with the Grecians and the Hebrews. The Grecian widows thought they weren't been well enough cared for, and therefore, at that particular time, the disciples were pulled together, the church was pulled together, that they would choose out 7 particular men, deacons, to look after the affairs of that which was been brought before them. And therefore, we see the 7 names over there in the book of Acts. We see Stephen was one of them, the boy who has been martyred. We see Philip was the other. Now, listen, there's 2 things about these particular 7. They were the men full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. That's the caliber of men they were looking for. It wasn't what bank balance they had. They were choosing out men. Choose ye out 7 men full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And Stephen was one of them. And my, is it any wonder, as he stood before that religious crowd at that particular time in Acts 7. Listen, they couldn't handle him. But nonetheless, God permitted that Stephen would be taken out. But can I say this morning, Philip was another one. And the Holy Ghost directs us to follow the footsteps of Philip and where he went and what he was involved in and what he was doing. We can see here that the Lord permitted persecution to come in order to scatter the church, in order to awake the church, in order to get the church to further afield. And therefore, in verse 5, we say then, Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord give heed unto those things. Give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many, and were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. I want to tell you, God was using this man mightily. He was just a 5'8". He was just an individual. He wasn't doctor or anything else. He was just an ordinary 5'8". And God can take 5'8"s and use them. Hallelujah, for his honor and glory. And here's Philip, and he's in Samaria, and he's here alone. It seems to be that he's on his own on this particular occasion. And as he enters into the streets of Samaria, his intentions are that he's going to go on, and he's going to preach the message of Christ and him crucified. And as he does so, to his amazement and to my amazement, the multitude of the folk who live in the city of Samaria come out and they gather around this saint of God and they want to listen to him preach the message of the gospel. And we can see what kind of people he was working among. There were people that were possessed by demons, by evil spirits. There were wicked people, there were sinful people of all different dyes and circumstances. But in the midst of it all, through the preaching of Christ and him crucified, God moved mightily through the city of Samaria. Revival broke out. Hundreds and thousands were swept into the kingdom of God, to the extent the Bible says what? That there was great joy in that city. It was some gospel campaign, wasn't it? I'm putting it to you this morning. Are we seeing it in Lisburn? Are we seeing it in Lurgan? Are we seeing it in Portadown or in Belfast? Here's one individual sold out for God, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, going among an ungodly people with the message of salvation upon his heart through Christ and Christ alone. And God used him. And God blessed him. And there in Samaria, the church came together, blood bought. Paul or Stephen became, as it were, like their spiritual pastor, their spiritual leader. And Philip, he would have led them, he would have encouraged them, he would have sought to see them go on with the Lord. And there was a real friendship and a bond there between those young believers who had just come to a knowledge of saving faith through the work of the cross, and Philip himself, who brought to them the message. And my, it must have been a terrific experience that this man enjoyed. But I want you to see something here. There was not only the need for Philip to go and to bring the message of the gospel to the mass numbers and the mass multitudes of people. But I want to say this, God's also interested in the individuals. And I want to say this, as the Lord led, circumstances permitted was permitted to come about in order to bring Philip into Samaria. And sometimes circumstances dictate in our lives. But I want you to see something else here. Turn over to me to the verse 26. Because this is actually the portion that fascinates me more than anything else. Because while he was in Samaria, and while he was seeing a mighty work done, and many souls been brought into the kingdom of God, then the Lord revealed himself to Philip in order that he might redirect his footsteps. And I want you to see this. And young person in the meeting this morning, I want you to listen, because maybe you're saved this morning and you're seeking God's perfect plan and will for your life, and you're not just too sure where to go and what to do. And you need to pray about that. You need to ask God to lead, guide, and direct. It was while he was in Samaria and while he was preaching the truth, the Lord came to him. And the Bible says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, I want you to arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now this is God's perfect plan and perfect will for his life. God has already used him in revival blessing. God has already used him in leading many, many souls to the Savior. But now we have this angel of the Lord, and what a tremendous study that is, the ministry of angels. Because this angel of the Lord just appeared out of the blue unto Philip. And the angel of the Lord had a message from the Lord of heaven. And the message was this: Philip, I want you to arise. I want you to leave Samaria. I want you to go towards the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, he didn't tell him why, nor he didn't tell him who he was going to meet. He didn't explain a thing to him. He just simply asked him to arise and leave. Now, this must have been a big thing for the fellowship, because they had grown very fond of Philip as their spiritual pastor. And Philip, I have no doubts, would have gathered the church together at that time, and he would have spoken to them about how the Lord was leading him away. And I would have said that there had been tears amongst the fellowship at that time because of the loss of their dear brother. But nonetheless, Philip could not act on feelings. He had to act by faith. And he had to obey the word of God. And he had to up sticks and leave Samaria. And he had to go to the direction where God was sending him. And you can see Philip saying his goodbyes, because we can see his response in verse 27, that he arose and went. He never asked any questions. There was no ifs or buts. He simply arose and went at the call of God. And he headed in the direction where God was sending him. Now the question has got to be asked this morning: why is God sending him in this direction? What is it that God knows that he doesn't know? And dear friend, maybe in your life, young person, maybe God's directing you to some area of worship, some area of work, or whatever it might be. Listen, and you're not just too sure what lies ahead. I want to tell you something. God will never ask you to go anywhere if he hasn't already went before. And Philip was obedient to this heavenly vision from the Lord, from this heavenly account of the angel, which the angel said to him, listen, you've got to leave here, you've got to go to Gaza, towards the south, to that desert area. And the Bible tells me that Philip arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, and was now returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now I want you to get this. I want you to see Philip as he's making his way towards the south. I want you to see him walking that lonely road, not one soul probably, not with him. But he's there and he's aware that he's walking in the direction where God wants him to go. Now as he comes up this particular point of the road, near to the position where God wants him to be, he maybe sees in the distance this train of people. And they're sitting in their chariots and they're making their road home. And among this train of chariots, there is one man sitting in the chariot. This particular man's an Ethiopian. The Bible tells us he's the treasurer of the queen, and that is his occupation. We can see that he has come to Jerusalem. He has already been there in order that he might worship. It would seem to me he's turned away from what he has known to Judaism. And he has made the effort to come all those miles away from his homeland down to Jerusalem for the worship. And he seems to me to be a religious, respectable, self-righteous individual. Now I want you to get this, because while he had been at Jerusalem there to worship, he had picked up a portion of the Word of God, picked up a passage of Old Testament Scripture, and that passage of Old Testament Scripture, whether or not it was the whole book or part of the book, I'm not 100% sure, but this one thing I do know is of the portion that he picked up, Isaiah chapter 53 was amongst his pages. And as he had picked up this portion of the Word of God, and as he was on his road home in the chariot, he was sitting there and he was reading it loudly. He said to me, how do you know he was reading it loudly? Well, because everybody could hear him. You say, how do you know everybody could hear him? Well, listen to this. As he was making his road home, as he was sitting in the chariot, listen, verse 29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, now watch this, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. That's how I know he was reading it loudly. That's how I know that other people could hear him as he read the scriptures. And I want to tell you, dear friend, as Philip had been walking along the road, unaware up until this point of exactly what God's directive will was for his life, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord comes and he directs him in verse 29. Verse 29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, I want you to go near and join thyself to this chariot. I want you to go and speak with that man, that individual. Now God's making him known why he has sent him towards the south. He has sent him that these two men might be brought together. Now Philip never seen him before. Philip didn't know him from Adam. But when the Lord said to leave Samaria, Philip went. And when the Spirit of the Lord said to go and to adjoin himself to the man in the chariot, the Bible says that Philip, he ran thither to him. He couldn't wait. You see, he had the heart of the evangel. He had a heart for the souls of men and women who were dying without Christ. And he took every opportunity that God gave to him in order to present the message of the gospel. And you can see him taking off. And I think you see that wee word ran. And Philip ran thither to him. You know what you need to do? You need to take your pen and you need to underline that wee word ran. Because it's so important. You know why? Because Philip needed to arrive at the chariot at the right portion, at the right place. Everything to do with Christ. Now watch what happens here, because it's amazing. It absolutely thrills my soul. Philip ran thither to him, verse 30, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, oh, I want you to stop here. Philip opened up the conversation. And as he spoke to this boy, he asked him a very, very important question. He said, "Sir, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what this portion who is speaking about?" That's what he was asking him. And the man answered him here, the man answered him in verse 31, and he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" Who knew that he needed guidance? That's why God brought him from Samaria. That's why God directed him towards the south. That's why God brought him to this very point where these two men would come together. And I want you to see this, God's hands in it all, because salvation is of the Lord. And listen, God's bringing him to the right place, to the right person, to the right portion of Scripture. It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? God at work in the salvation of souls. And when he asked him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" he says, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he was ready to receive Philip. He said, desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I'm telling you, there's a willingness to accept this servant of the Lord. Young person, if God's calling you to service, God will already have went before you. He had already been preparing the heart of this man to that he would be giving him acceptance with him. And he actually requested, he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. Now watch this, verse 31. He says, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would, come up and sit with him. Now here's it. Here's the important point. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." He's reading about the crucified Lord. He's reading the prophecy concerning Christ. That is what Jesus was speaking about in the children's story when he spoke to his disciples about the things that must be fulfilled that were spoken by the prophets. And this is one of them, Isaiah chapter 53. And here is Isaiah chapter 53 and has given that prophecy concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is and he's reading about this lamb being led to the slaughter. And after they'd read this particular portion, verse 34 says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee," now watch this, "of whom speakest the prophet this?" Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking of some other man? And what that shows you and me this morning, dear child of God, that here is a dear man, a religious man, a respectable man, a self-righteous man, but yet in his heart he has no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not aware who the prophet speaks about whatsoever. He's asking the question, is the prophet speaking about himself or of some other man? You see, dear friend, you can have religion without righteousness. And I'm asking you a question this morning, dear friend. Are you saved? Can you look back to a point in your time when you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power and been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you just trusting in self-righteousness to give you acceptance with God? And this poor man was lost and he didn't know it. This poor man was only a heartbeat away from a Christless eternity and he didn't know it. But I want to tell you something. The hand of the Lord was upon the whole situation, because when he asked a question and he says to Philip, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this?" Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking of some other man? I want to tell you something. Philip knew exactly who the prophet was speaking about, because the Bible says in answer to the request, Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. Hallelujah. You see the heart of the evangel in him. I want to tell you, Philip hadn't to ask who's the prophet speaking about. Philip knew fine rightly whom the prophet was speaking about. Do you know why? Because he had been to Jesus for the cleansing power and he had been washed in the blood of the Lamb and he was now sold out for God and in the service of God. And as he preached Christ to this particular man, I want to tell you something. Something happened in his heart. Now watch this. And I know my time's gone and I'm going to finish now. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What a question. Now, I need to say something here. Do you see, as Philip preached Christ to this man, preached it from the Old Testament there in Isaiah chapter 53, and presented him to Christ, the prophet spoke about Christ, brought him to the cross, observed the sacrifice for sin, and told him how Jesus paid the ultimate price for his salvation. Now watch. Do you see, as Paul preached the message of the gospel, something happened in the heart of the man where he sat in the chariot. Just where he sat. And by a simple act of faith, he came and he trusted the Lord. See, last Sunday night, we up in a wee ordress mission hall up the country. Just in a wee small hall, just a wee old-fashioned, old-time gospel meeting. We preached the truth for a fortnight there in that wee gospel meeting. Last Sunday night, there was a young teenage girl of 19 years of age. And she sat under the gospel all week, and she sat under it on the Sunday night. And on the Sunday night as she left the meeting, she come to us at the door, and you know what she said? She says, "I just want you to know, boys, I've accepted Jesus Christ into my heart in this meeting tonight." In the meeting. She didn't come and ask us, "Would you lead us? Would you lead me to Christ?" She had already come. Just what she said. And I want to tell you that's exactly what this eunuch did. He just came to Jesus where he sat in the chariot. And I'm going to tell you something else. Philip didn't know he had come to Jesus. At the minute, he said to me, "Why?" Well, here's the reason why. Yes, take a look at it. And they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to baptize?" And Philip says, "Listen, if thou believest with all thine heart." Now, if Philip would have known, he wouldn't have asked the question. "What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now listen to this. And he answered and says what? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Hallelujah. The darkness was dispelled. The light of the glorious gospel had shined in unto his heart. And the boy was wonderfully saved and delivered from the power of sin and Satan and made a child of the living God. Isn't it wonderful to be part and partial of the work of the Lord? It thrills my soul to see and hear people coming to Jesus. It's what it's all about. That's a confession. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You see, he became an old Baptist, did he? No, he just obeyed the word of the Lord. That's all he did. And it was an open show of an inward act of grace that had taken place in his heart and in his life. And what he was saying to the world is this: I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Work's done. Work's complete. But the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way, rejoicing. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it marvelous? That God can take an individual and use him to lead a dear lost soul to Christ. And he went on his way rejoicing. There's a sinner in this meeting, and God's challenging your heart this morning. Oh, you're faithful coming to the place of worship. You maybe even read your Bible, and maybe even say your prayers. But dear friend, deep down in your heart, there's an empty void. You've yet to get to the Lord. And maybe this morning's your morning. You come and trust him this morning. Folks, do you see the desire the man had for the souls of men and women, Philip? May God give to us a burning desire to serve the Lord in our day and generation. As you and I look at the media and look at world events, I want to tell you something. We're only a blink away from the second coming of the Lord. He's coming soon, you know. And it's time the church was up and doing and getting involved and going after the souls of men and women. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, O God, we're always fascinated by your word. It's such a thrill just to read it, meditate upon it. And Lord, if there's a man I want to reach in heaven, I want to meet, it's the eunuch, just to see, Lord, what you've done with him and threw him back home in his own homeland. And I pray, Father, that there's maybe one this morning in the meeting. And Lord, there's many wonderful treats in life, as it were, and yet they're not saved. They're still outside of Christ. We pray that you give that deciding grace this morning to come and put their trust in Jesus Christ and leave Lisburn Baptist Church today rejoicing in sins forgiven. Bless your word till every heart, young and old, and bless this fellowship, we pray, in the days to come. In Jesus' name.